Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Dead center. That's where we are. We're sitting on it right now. The very pinnacle of the mountain that we climb to start every work week and get to this point. Middle of the hump show, middle of the work week. Thanks for joining us after hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. A couple of things for the upcoming Wednesday. There are teams arriving in Orlando to get set to enter the NBA bubble. So that's happening over the next several days. The MLS's back tournament is actually scheduled to begin on Wednesday evening. There were supposed to be two games. Now one of them has been postponed. There have been delays in testing results. It's been really dramatic, and the initial start to this tournament has been a bit chaotic. And so who knows whether or not they'll actually begin, but they are supposed to begin on Wednesday evening. And one other piece of breaking news from Tuesday night. You may likely hear on Wednesday morning that the Ryder Cup has been postponed until the same weekend in September next year. So similar tack to what the Olympics have done. They're just postponing a year. In fact, exactly 12 months. So the Ryder Cup was scheduled to be played at Whistling Straits, Wisconsin, on American soil. And there's been a lot of trepidation, but also a lot of criticism about holding the Ryder Cup without fans. And so with so much uncertainty, we can expect the announcement to come on Wednesday that the Ryder Cup has also been pushed a year. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. We'll get back to your phone calls. You can find me on Twitter, After Hours CBS. You want to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, that's how you do it. And also on our Facebook page, we're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. If you want to see your loan options, adjust your payments, and your closing costs, you can do it online in real time. Rocket can. A couple hours ago, I had a chance to catch up with longtime baseball pitcher Nelson Figueroa, and he really made the rounds. He was the definition of a journeyman. Spent some time with the Mets. He's a Brooklyn native now on the other side doing analysis of Major League Baseball. And it was a good conversation, passionate conversation, and I'm excited to share it with you. I started out by asking him to describe the emotions of the players now and what is an uncertain season. It's shortened. It's not starting at the same time. There are virus concerns. So how are the players feeling right now?
Well, I imagine they're going to be feeling a lot of butterflies, and there's going to be trepidation, of course, about the health risks. Being tested so many times, that's something that they probably weren't even thinking of doing, because if they were asymptomatic and they felt healthy and nobody around them in their bubble during quarantine was anyone that they felt there was a risk, then they probably didn't get tested. And now you see they come into spring training 2.0 and they're getting tested constantly, because Major League Baseball is going to do everything they can to protect the players. And I think once you get through that element of it, it's 2.5 more weeks of spring training 2.0, and then they get to start the season. It's going to be different. No fans in the stands. Playing in front of your opening day crowd of nobody. I mean, do they announce the lineups? Do they, you know, all the fanfare that normally goes with it? That's all going to be gone. And, you know, they have to put on for the entertainment value, I guess, for the viewer at home. But I think it's going to get back to what everybody wants to do as far as being a ball player and being a major league ball player, get back to playing baseball and being out on the field and being there with your teammates and trying to get back to some kind of normalcy that, you know, we haven't had in the last 4 months. So I think the closer that we get to seeing games being played, the more excited these guys are going to get. And then, of course, it's going to be a very short season. It's that sprint, not the marathon. And I think every team is going to feel like they have a chance.
So then at some point, baseball takes over, and it's not as much about the virus, not that it goes away, but baseball becomes the most important thing, or the thing that's most top of mind over the virus and everything else that's happened to this point.
Yeah, I think what you're going to see is, you know, the back pages of the sports section, you know, finally seeing actual sports. That's going to be a huge thing. That's going to be, you know, when you get a chance to see DeGrom taking the hill and then the Subway Series matchup of DeGrom and Cole possibly, all those things. And I think it's just baseball has always had a way of capturing, you know, the summertime, the passion of the fans. Everyone was looking for something to root for. And, you know, with the negotiations, they took it on the chin a little bit, but I think they had to make sure that proper precautions are going to be taken. They made the agreement. They want to come back. They want to play. And for the most part, you're hearing most of these players saying, hey, you know, being tested is not, you know, something I enjoy doing. It's being tested and finding out that I'm positive or somebody on my team is positive is a little scary. But I think most people are realizing as healthy athletes in their prime that they are able to kind of overcome this virus and the Major League Baseball is going to do everything they can to help every single team be able to get through any kind of situation. And then playing baseball, beautiful. I cannot wait to see, because of what I think is going to happen is you're looking at a playoff push right from the beginning where, you know, there's teams that were in rebuilding mode where you got a team like the White Sox where they had that mixture of young talent and some veterans that are going to be exciting. A team like Tampa Bay, I think I'm worried about the most, because I think they're the team that will try anything to win, and they won 93 games or more the last two or three years in that division. So it'll be exciting to see what they come up with. They went with a four-man rotation. They might go to a three-man rotation and just use, you know, 12 relievers if they could. So that'll be interesting to see how they play it out.
Yeah, it certainly is completely different with strategies that could be sneaky good in a season that's only 60 games. So, Nelson, you mentioned the negotiations. Let's talk about this for a second, then we can put it to bed. What would you say to fans who are watching from the outside in the midst of what is an economic crisis and people losing their jobs? And I took a pay cut. I would say the majority of America took a pay cut, right, if they kept their jobs. What would you say, though, to people watching from the outside about the importance of the negotiations and how they played out?
The negotiations weren't just based off of you know, being, it wasn't about greed. They're taking a pay cut as well. Yes, there's a scale to it all, right? So you have to put it in perspective. At the same time, the union's job is to try and get the max dollars for the product on the field, which is the players. Nobody goes to the ballpark to see the owners. Nobody. There's not one. Even the owners' wives don't go to the ballpark to see the owner. They actually go to watch the game, to watch the players on the field. So to think that it was going to be okay to cut down players' salaries, that substantial kind of number, where one of the greatest things with the Major League Baseball Players Union is the guaranteed contract. And that's something that we fought very, very hard for, you know, decades. And that's something that the union has always held its head high about, that we wanted to make sure that the players were going to get what they were due. And if it's prorated, it's prorated. They're fine with that. But they were trying to also get the players the maximum amount of games and try and play it for as long as they can, where the owners were looking for the playoffs is where they make all their money. TV revenue skyrockets during the playoffs. You know, there's only 12 games to watch probably, rather than, you know, having to watch 15 games. There's only six games to watch with 12 teams.
Right.
It's everybody's focused on those games. So I think the finances of baseball, and I said this about even just the restart, the logistical nightmare that is baseball on an everyday basis, what it takes of stadium operations to run a smooth, I would say, entertainment-filled game just one day. You didn't realize before this pandemic what it took and what was involved. And now that you're hearing about, you know, all the way from parking attendants to concession stands to people who just clean the stadium to ushers to security, to there's so many levels that go into it that it's hard to fault either side, because what they're trying to do is, and they're trying to take care of those people as well, because they realize that they're getting paid. And I think people lose sight of that part of the negotiations was also to make sure that they got a cut of the money, even though it wasn't there, because it's not their fault that they're not able to do their job this year at the ballpark because of the virus.
Nelson Figueroa with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. So baseball analyst now, but spent a long time in the big leagues as a pitcher himself. Let's talk practical baseball. What are these guys trying to do right now? What's the focus to get, shake off the rust, shake out the cobwebs, and be ready to play in 2.5 weeks?
Well, for some guys, this is a blessing in disguise. Guys like Cespedes, guys like Dylan Betances for the Mets, they're looking, you know, that this is exactly what they needed, was some extra time. And, being able to help the ball club on day one is going to be huge, especially in this short season. For the guys that were like a Jacob deGrom, who's a fine oiled machine, a little bit of a setback. You're thinking a little bit of rust, but for pitchers, I think weekly we know, hey, I'm going to throw a bullpen. Hey, I'm going to work on this. I'm going to work on that. So getting an extra 4 months for some guys, you know, could be just the thing they needed, working on a pitch, working on their mechanics. The guys didn't just go home and sit back. They were out there, and we saw a lot of videos on Instagram. We saw Marcus Stroman had the setup of a lifetime of the portable mound throwing onto a dock with the ocean behind him, behind his catcher. I mean, that's the kind of thing where you get to see that it's a dedication. It is a job. These guys are professionals, so it wasn't like, you know, the beer league softball where, okay, you know, we're just going to take it home. There's no games right now. These guys are putting in the extra work, and, you know, for a guy like Syndergaard, you feel terrible because he went back home and tried to keep in shape and wound up blowing out when he wasn't even, playing in a game or anything like that. And so he's going to miss out on a year. But I think for the most part, you're going to look at guys being able to get ready pretty quickly. And baseball will be played at a high level very soon. That's what I'm excited for.
The news has been full of, and it, of course it's the aberration, so it grabs more headlines, but full of guys who've chosen not to play, who are choosing to stay home for whatever reason, whether it's their stance on social injustice, whether it's the virus. What's your reaction to that as someone who's spent more than a decade in the league?
Yeah, that's something that players are starting to do more and more of. Again, we never had anything like this virus before, but I think as far as taking a stance and saying, hey, I'm going to forego this season, I'm going to put my family as a priority, you look at an athlete like a Colin Kaepernick, who basically put away his career to take a stance. And for any person out there who doesn't know the history of Cassius Clay / Muhammad Ali, YouTube is great for going back in time. Please do yourself a favor and see what that was like and what he had to go through. You're seeing it a kind of a modern day version of it with what, you know, Kaepernick had to go through and with the social injustices that are still being faced today. But I don't think the magnitude is nearly what Muhammad Ali went through, and the way that he did it was second to none. When you're talking about the heavyweight champion of the world, basically, you know, telling everyone that, hey, I have rights as a human being, I have rights as an American, that where if I don't want to go, I'm not going. So it was incredible to watch and learn. I did my senior thesis on Muhammad Ali because I was amazed by him. So for me to see athletes kind of taking a stance, even speaking out. I mean, Michael Jordan really didn't speak out against a lot of things for the last 20, 30 years when it came to, you know, political things or things that were going on in the world. And even Michael Jordan had an opportunity to speak out and to voice his opinion. Twitter and social media doesn't have to be used just to have arguments. You want to show your support. You want to show that things are important to you. Pete Alonso was a guy that I reached out to as soon as I saw him put out his Instagram post about, you know, that he could not sit by and just not say anything. Most of us, when you were playing this game and you were coming up, you were concerned about what ownership, you know, what political party was ownership involved with, who were they supporting, and then you didn't know what you could say. You didn't want to ruffle any feathers, where now I think the First Amendment rights are something that people are getting more and more comfortable with exercising, and I have to applaud the modern-day athlete for that.
Former big league pitcher Nelson Figueroa now is a baseball analyst with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. We heard some athletes say that the locker room is, because it's one that features so many different races, ethnicities, backgrounds, that it's a good microcosm, maybe a good model for how people can get along across their differences. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, and I think it's funny because in my one of the other projects that I work with is a website called Vote In or Out.com, and that website It's bipartisan. You go on to learn about the issues and where every candidate stands on those issues. And so there's commonality involved in what's important. You know, gun violence is something that's important to both, whether you're on the left or the right. Gun violence is important. You wind up figuring out that you may not meet in the same place when it comes to economics. You may not meet in the same place when it comes to, say, environmental issues. But when it comes to gun violence and you guys meet in the same area, now you can have that conversation. You can have that discussion. So voteinorout.com is where you can go and you learn about the issues. And I think that's something that if you look in with the modern athlete, you know, you're using these iPads to gain knowledge and you want to know where to go to get good knowledge. You don't want to make sure that you're not getting the fake news on whatever side that you stand, but you want to make sure that you're as well-versed and as well-educated as you can to have those conversations and know where do conversations like that happen more than in a baseball clubhouse. You're surrounded by guys from all different ethnicities, all parts of the world, and you start learning. And I think what I've seen throughout my career is you can see the beauty of the game and how it translates into everyday life. And what we talk about is that you learn a lot of traits, a lot of things that you carry on well after your playing days, and you become a coach, you go into any line of work that you go into, those things still stand because you learn them through baseball. So being a leader and finding ways to kind of patch, you know, arguments between people, that's something that I was able to do a lot in my career because I was bilingual. So little arguments lost in the translation. It is a very good example of a microcosm of how America is great. And when you talk about immigrants, you talk about, you know, being able to get along. The thing that's different, I believe, is that one common goal of winning a championship and winning a ring. You make a lot of sacrifices, and you may bite your tongue a lot. But at the end of the day, you stand with these guys because you know they're in it for the same reason that you are, and you're spending more time with them than you are with your actual family throughout the baseball season. You might as well make it worthwhile.
Nelson, before I let you go, it's crazy, too, to think about all the changes and yet some things stay the same, right? And so just for a minute, let's talk about the Mets, one of the teams that you played for, a team that you've covered as well. How do you feel about them coming into the 60-game season with the pitching, with Alonso as the sophomore campaign? I mean, what's the excitement level about the Mets?
I think it's huge. Like I said, early on, with Cespedes and Betances having a chance to heal up and be ready for opening day 2.0. I think I'm very excited for the prospects. They had a nice mix already. Now if you can add that bat and that arm to the back end of the bullpen with Betances and being able to do more recovering from the Achilles injury. Remember, it wasn't a shoulder problem. It was his Achilles. So if he's able to harness, he's one of the best relievers in all of baseball over the last 3 years. You know, the injury was unfortunate, and he only had that one game last year. So he's well-rested, I would say, when it comes to his shoulder. Cespedes, the same thing, was out with the heels, and having the opportunity to DH him is huge for the Mets. I think the last time he got a chance to DH, he hit a 3-run home run in Yankee Stadium, and that's when after he rounded the bases, he said he had problems with his heels and was never on the field again. So I think the Mets have a nice balance. I think they have a nice mix, and with a new manager who has managed some short seasons before, especially in winter ball, where in winter ball it's kind of do or die. It's more of that playoff atmosphere because you want to make it to the playoffs, where there's only four teams that make it into the playoffs, and you want to make sure you get on a good streak and a good rally. And you may not be sitting there for a player's development this year, but rather that you may play the hot hand, like a Pete Alonso, how he carried the team last year with those with those huge home runs. You know, you get a guy who's on a hot streak, it may not go back to those analytics of lefty righty matchups. You might start to ride the hot hand, and so managing is even going to change a little bit. That's why I think it's going to be a very exciting season.
Now, see, when we're talking baseball, then I just get all excited. It's the other stuff that tries to weed out the excitement. But we're getting closer. 2.5 weeks. Cannot wait to see the actual balls and strikes and the guys standing in the batter's box. You can find Nelson on Twitter at Figgy, F-I-G-G-I-E, New York. Former big league pitcher, of course, now baseball analyst and a great talker. Nelson, good to have you on the show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Amy. Take care.
I appreciate Nelson's passion, and I appreciate that he can give us a picture of what it's like inside a clubhouse. And I really love what he had to say about sometimes you keep your trap shut. Not everything needs to be expressed. That's how it is with families. That's how it is with friends. That's how it is with teams. The group, the health of the group, the goals of the group become more important than your individual goals. And sometimes that means you keep your mouth shut and you don't say everything that you're feeling and that you're mindful of other people before yourself. You treat other people how you want to be treated. Group dynamics, so different, but he makes some really great points. So it's good to talk to Nelson. First time that we've had him on the show, and definitely we would love to have him again. All right, you've got a few minutes left to send your questions for Ask Amy Anything, part of our Hump Show, on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and then also on our Facebook page. We're closing in about 20 minutes away. We'll get back to our phones here next, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.